The Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, March the 1st. Anderson?
Here.
Almond?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Boggs?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Haynes?
Here.
Hawks?
Here.
Hines? Jennings?
Here.
Job?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Mockler?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Northrup?
Here.
Peck?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions? Townsend?
Here.
Vacy?
Here.
Von Flatern?
Here.
President Larson?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Pastor Dwayne Purchase.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, your presence surrounds us, your love affirms us, your strength sustains us, your courage empowers us, your guidance directs us, and your joy uplifts us. We give you thanks for this new day in which we serve you by serving this state. As you have placed these men and women in positions of responsibility, you will provide them with exactly what they need in each hour of this day. We commit this day to you and look expectantly for your interventions and inspiration. You are the source of our vision, our hope, and our perseverance. Bless these leaders, O God, and all who work with them. Give them the gift of a productive day. We commend these petitions to you, Almighty God, trusting in your mercy. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 28th, 2005, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Johnson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Renee Hinkle from Cheyenne. Thank you very much for being with us and helping serve Wyoming in the legislature. The nurses for the day are Max Adkins and Kay Hanks. They're from the Wyoming State Hospital in Evanston and were also around yesterday. Thank you also for your service. The thought for the day. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be misquoted and then used against you. Messages from the House.
February the 28th, 2004, from the House of Representatives, message number 509, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, Senate file number 14, graduated driver's license. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 36, noes 22, excused 2. From the House of Representatives, message number 510, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill number 232, Economic Development Excise Taxes. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, no 0, excused 2. From the House of Representatives, message number 513, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 65, Alzheimer's Study, ayes 47, noes 11, excused 2. From the House of Representatives, message number 517, conferees appointed Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House or to Senate File 121. The House conferees are Representative R. Anderson, Representatives Illaway and Reese, Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Concurrence requests.
February the 28th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number...
Whoa.
Oh!
Senator Haynes, are you ready on message number 512?
Mr. President, I am.
The reading clerk will read message 512.
Okay, this is 512. February the 28th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 512, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 58, Prison Industries Program Inmate Compensation. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 0, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Haynes.
Mr. President, I move that we do concur in the House amendments on Senate File 58, Prison Industries Program Inmate Compensation, and I ask that you vote yes. Mr. President, this is the bill that dealt with the prisoners who work in the prison industries programs. And it tells how the money that they make is divided up between their personal savings account, their discretionary account, their child support payments, their taxes, everything that really that is a part of their income package. The House inserted one word after the word taxes on page 2, line 18. And that makes sure that not only are the income taxes and the Social Security taxes, but also the Medicare taxes are paid out of this money. So the word added is the word Medicare, and we think this kind of rounds out the picture here for the inmates who are involved in the prison industries program.
Any discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 58, message number 512, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Bassey?
Aye.
Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 58, message 512. Senator Massey, are you ready on message number 511? The reading clerk will read the message.
February the 28th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 511, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 24, School Finance Special Education Equipment, The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, no 0, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence message number 511 to Senate file number 24 and ask the body to vote aye. This is a fairly straightforward, simple amendment, Mr. President. It just simply requires the school districts to report on the status of their assistive technology equipment to the Department of Education when they turn in their annual inventory forms for special education services. It's a good amendment. They probably could do that anyway, but if that gives some people comfort to have it in the bill, it's not a problem.
Further discussion on the concurrence request? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do concur. On Senate File 24, message number 511, you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Almond. Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines. Jennings,
aye.
Joe, Johnson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 24, message number 511. Senator Massey, are you ready on message number 515?
Yes, Mr. President.
Reading clerk will read in message 515.
February the 28th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 515, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 154, Podiatry Practice Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence message number 515 to Senate File 154 and ask the body to vote aye. There were several provisions in this rewrite of the Podiatrist Practice Act, and one in particular elicited a great deal of discussion over here, and that is a surgery on ankles and tendons that go into the ankles. And the crux of the discussion and debate was whether or not these folks had sufficient training to be able to perform those kinds of procedures. There was an amendment that was offered by the Statewide Physicians Association that was acceptable to everybody and was put on over in the House Labor Committee that seems to strike the right balance and to provide some assurances in this particular part of the debate. And as folks can see in the amendment itself, it would require a licensed podiatrist to have completed a podiatric surgical residency training program that is approved by the podiatrist board. So this will ensure that anyone who performs those kinds of procedures will indeed have the background before they're able to do that. So it's a good amendment. I think it brought together both sides, and everyone now can move on together in this rewrite of that Practice Act. So I do urge folks to vote aye.
Further discussion? Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, as the revisor's bill specialist, on the second line of it, it says podiatrists who have complete a podiatric, and it needs to be completed, and I think you guys can do that at the desk, otherwise we end up doing it in the revisor's bill next year.
Approach the desk and have it, that's a technical correction, approach the desk and have it corrected there. That correction has been made. Discussion on the concurrence request. Senator Barrasso.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, thank you. I did have the original concerns, and I appreciate the two sponsors who visited with me, and I think that this amendment that they brought now does address the concerns that I expressed on this floor, and I'm going to vote in favor of concurrence. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion on the concurrence request? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 154, Message 515, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Joe.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 154, Message 515. Senator Geis, are you ready on Message Number 507?
Yes, Mr. President.
Reading clerk will read Message 507.
February the 28th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, Message Number 507, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 19, State Land Trust Responsibilities. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, no 0, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your message number 507, Senate File 19, I'd ask that the Senate do concur with the House's amendments, and I'd ask you to vote aye. On page 1, line 3, after the comma, they inserted providing appropriations, and then you go down to page 3, line 19. Well, from page 2, line 115, through page 3, line 19, they deleted all of that and renumbered. And what they did there, on page 2, line 1 through 15, they took out all of the five elect officials' representation on this study. And then they renumbered all of over to clear over to, well, all of page 3. On page 3, line 10, they want the Speaker of the House to appoint two House members to serve on this committee. And then you go down on page 3, line 15, they want the President of the Senate to assign two senators to serve on this committee. Then you go down on line 19, on page 3, and after Roman numeral 7, they inserted one at-large representative appointed by the State Loan Investment Board to represent families. And then Roman numeral number 8, they put an amendment in, one representative from either the forest product industry or the forest professional appointed by the State Loan Investment Board. And over on page 5, line 19, they put in a new section there, section 2, and they put in $30,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Office of State Land Investments to fund interim meetings and activities of the task force to contract for the appropriate professionals as necessary to complete the duties assigned to the task force in Section 1 of this Act. And then on page 6, line 1, they deleted 2 and inserted 3. And so I'd ask you to vote aye on the House amendments on Senate File 19. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any discussion on the concurrence? Senator Coe.
Mr. President, just a question on the new paragraph 7, and if I read it right, we've renumbered and added a couple of paragraphs. And I'm trying to figure out what one at large representative appointed by the State Loan Investment Board to represent families, what exactly that means. I'm not sure I understand that. The other thing on page 5, Mr. President, we insert a new section 2, 30,000 appropriated. What happens to, unless I missed it, what happened to paragraph E where it says staff support for the task force shall be provided by the Office of State Land and Investments? Those are my two questions.
Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, and I guess, you know, I had a problem with the bill in the first place being kind of balanced, and certainly would echo the senator from Park County's question about what a family is. I mean, exactly how do you decide I represent all families? But I also have a problem with taking off the governor, the secretary of state, the auditor, treasurer, and superintendent off of a study to look at how they manage the state lands. And so I'm a little concerned why you would take these people out of the study or their designee. I mean, it was a representative of their office. It didn't necessarily tie up all their time. But at least you knew that the people that were going to have to implement and are actually responsible constitutionally with a fiduciary responsibility don't have a representative on this panel.
Further discussion. Senator Geis.
Mr. President. I don't know, they just felt they needed somebody to represent the people that use the state lands on there, and I thought, well, that's okay if that's what they wanted. The monies, I can't remember what they told me about the money, but they said they needed the extra money to pay for the people that are going to contract with to do the study and work with the commission that's in this board. If it'll work, I would say, about like the same commission we had back in 1996 that I served on. And they just want to update all of the facts and stuff from the last, what's been 9 years since we've taken a look at our state lands. And I know the world's changed out there, and it's the people that used to take care of our state lands are not taking care of our state lands like they used to. So I think we're going to have to get the state land board more involved in what's happening out on our state lands. And that's what this study would be for. If you want us to go to a conference committee, we can do that. You can vote no, but I'd ask you to concur and vote aye.
Further discussion on the concurrence. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess as we change the configuration of this committee, I start to have more concerns with the underlying bill and the concept. Over at page 4 of the blue copy, one of the things that this committee is going to do is determine if the change to the budgeted funding of the Office of State Lands and Investment Trust Responsibilities is necessary. And now as I look at that new composition, frankly, if we're going to do that, let's just put it to our own interim committee. And why are we going to send out to a committee now that is not elected officials, and we have a group of people who are not experts in trust law and things like that coming back and telling us what we should be spending on it? I just began to share the concern now with whether or not it's deviating substantially from what it began with.
Further discussion on the concurrence request. Further discussion. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 19, Message 507, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
No.
Barrasso.
No.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Yes.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
No.
Geis.
No.
Haynes.
Aye.
Cox.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey? Von Flatern?
No.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 19, message number 507. Senator Mockler, are you ready on message number 514?
Yes, I am.
Reading clerk will read in message 514.
February the 28th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 514. Concurrence requested, Mr. President, Senate File 119, State Mileage Rate. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, no 0, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that the Senate do concur with message 514, which references Senate File 119, State Mileage Rate. When we were faced with the problem that are referencing federal statutes, we're trying to find a way to not tie our mileage rates for state employees or ourselves later on, and a few of the bills have been trying to do that, where we don't actually say that we'll keep up with the federal rate, that we have to find some clever way to do it. And I think what the House did was find a cleverer way than we did. And if you look at the amendment, what it simply says is that the state auditor will look at the rates that are out there. We'll try to find one reflective of the direct and indirect costs of driving a motor vehicle. He can look at the federal rate as one of his standards, but we're not specifically tying it to the federal rate. He will adjust it every year, annually, on January 1st, and he will not establish a rate exceeding the maximum non-taxable rates allowed by the Internal Revenue Service at the time of the travel. So I think they probably found a way that really ties it to the rate we're trying to find, but doesn't specifically say that. And so I would hope we would concur with this amendment from the House.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none. Excuse me, Senator Nicholas.
I apologize for being so slow, but my concern now is that if we're going to reimburse state employees for the direct and indirect costs of driving a motor vehicle, I think that's a substantial change in policy. I mean, ordinarily, the idea was that there would be some skin in the game if you're going to take your own personal car. Otherwise, you use the motor fleet that belongs to the state of Wyoming. And I assume that a direct and indirect cost may exceed the cost that's established by the federal government. I don't know, but I think that if you start looking at both your direct and indirect cost of riding your car, figure out what your depreciation is going to be, your loss of the, you're going to end up with a rate even higher than the federal rate.
Senator Mockler.
Oops, for my second time. Now, I don't think that should, I think whenever you look at trying to establish a mileage rate, you're really trying to get a sense of, are you compensating the individual for the wear and tear on the car and also the actual cost of the gas. So I think that's what they're implying here, is that you've really got to look at kind of what the costs of this are. And then obviously it's Romanet 3 that says that it can't be higher than the Internal Revenue Service allows. So you may find that you've got, you know, that, I mean, we all know that there's no way you're actually going to get in gas and mileage reimbursement what it really costs you to drive your own car. But you'll probably get a sense of that, and he'll look at that. He'll, you know, he'll decide what he thought the rate ought to be. He'll look at the federal rate, and then he'll come back and say, you know, all things considered, it still can't exceed what the IRS allows, and they adjust that pretty regularly as well. So, I don't know how else you would ask him to do it. Otherwise, he's just going to just go out there and, well, he probably is anyway, just look at what the federal government allows and what the IRS allows and say that's the rate and make the assumption that that's the direct and the indirect costs. But this is just sort of some wiggle room so that we're not violating our law, but really compensating an individual as close as we can to what the federal government's allowing, which for some reason, based on all the things they do, always seems to be higher than what we do.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 119, message number 514, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson? Aye. Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe, Cooper, DeCaria, Geis, Haynes, Hox, Hines, Jennings, Job, Johnson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Northrup, Peck, Ross, Schiffer, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Flatern, President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote.
Burns,
no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 119, message number 514. Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor, please?
You may, Senator Jennings.
We have a very special guest in the Senate today. Andy, would you stand up, please? Andy Porter, a friend of mine, 11 years old. He's a sixth grader at Southridge Elementary in Casper. And he has a form of MS called Frederick's Ataxia. And this is a deterioration of muscle over time, causing him to walk like he's a little bit too much to drink. He's been the NBA Goodwill Ambassador since 2004. He helps raise money for most of their diseases by visiting the firemen at the firehouses for building food up. He also works on with Shamrock Sales, lockup, and telephone. He's on visit almost every fire station in the state. He's also very active in Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, my community. And he's recently crossed over from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts last weekend. He's very active in the Scouts in our Pinewood Derby. He's got several shows. And he is is a good member of our group. And as he goes into Boy Scouts, he's going to go in knowing that he has some limitations because of his disease, which he's never known. He's right there, he's always got a smile on his face, and he's also got two very courageous parents behind him. So I would like you to join with me and give a Senate welcome to Andy Porter.
Andy, thank you for coming to visit us. We're all very proud of you. I'm sure your parents are very proud of you. And we appreciate you coming to see us. Welcome. Joint Conference Committee reports. Senator Hawks, are you ready on message number 384?
Mr. President, I'm ready.
The reading clerk will read in message 384.
Joint Conference Committee report, House Bill 232, Economic Development Excise Taxes, reference Senate message number 384, signing for the House, Representatives Lockhart, Buchanan, and Robinson, signing for the Senate, Senators Hawks, DeCaria, and Geis.
Senator Hawks.
Mr. President, I move that we do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report to message number 384, House Bill 232, and I ask you to vote aye. Mr. President, this was the House Bill 232 was the enabling legislation to Constitutional Amendment B.
which we passed last election. If you look at the committee reports, you'll see that the committee did adopt the first standing committee amendment and the committee of the whole amendments 1 and 2. You'll note that the committee of the whole amendment number 3 was deleted at the suggestion of the LSO staff. They found two errors in that amendment. The first was a punctuation error of where the quotation marks and parentheses were inserted, and the second one was on page 13. It was inserted in the wrong place in the bill. It was inserted 3 lines above where it should have been. So with that change, you can see that we did keep the Senate position intact, and I would ask you to vote aye.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, was the Senate amendment that knocked out that potentially perpetual feature in this tax, was that retained?
Senator Hawks.
All of the Senate amendments were retained. The one you were referring to, the Senator from the Trump County is referring to, was Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2, the Schiffer Amendment, which would require that any renewal of that tax be by vote of the people and not by an act of the municipality of the commission or the council.
Further discussion. Further discussion. The motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Committee Report number 384, reference House Bill 232. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report on Message Number 384, Reference House Bill 232. Senator Coe, are you ready?
Yes.
On Message Number 470. The reading clerk will read the message.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 121, Repeal of Term Limits. Reference House Message Number 470. Signing for the House, Representatives R. Anderson, Illaway, and Reese. Signing for the Senate, Senators Cole, Cooper, and Balls.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, I move the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report, Message Number 470, being original Senate File 121, Repeal of Term Limits. The House had included the 5 elected officials in their version of Senate File 121. We went to conference committee and worked this out. They agreed to delete that amendment, so this Senate File 121 is exactly like it left the Senate, with legislators and the congressional delegation still intact, but without the 5 elected officials. So that's what the amendment does. This is as it left the Senate. I would urge that you do adopt.
Discussion on the concurrence request. Discussion on concurrence request. Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Report number 470, being referenced Senate File 121. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria. Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 470, reference Senate File 121. Bills on Senator Haynes.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may, Senator Haynes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Often we can remember the highlights of a legislative session in poetry. And this is for you. It's called To the 58th Wyoming Legislature, 2005. Once again, the money was there, the envy of other states whose cupboards were bare. Save it or spend it or something in between, all kinds of uses for the money were seen. And technical amendments often were myriad, like when Senator Hawks said he missed his period. Shimmering light shone down from above on that magical day when Larson became gov. Plans were started for this new golden age as history began to write a fabulous new page. Excitement and vision the gov did not lack, and then came the word, the real gov was back. Now, some committee meetings attract a large crowd, and those who can't get in complain long and loud. True, rooms are quite small and the seats in them are few. Here's an idea of what we should do. Sell general admission or maybe reserve seats and apply the proceeds to our break room treats. The executive center was discussed quite a bit. The talented and wealthy will be eagerly sought. Where to put it when the people will come? Cody, Jackson, Laramie, just to name some. To let this slip by would sure be a pity. For a choice location, how about Jeffrey City? And as we start home, good weather we're needing, and if there are clouds in the sky, stop Jerry from seeding. But before we all leave this hallowed chamber, let's pause a moment, good times to remember. We'll have a party. It won't be fancy. Just come as you are, but be sure and bring Nancy.
Very good, Senator Haynes. We all always look forward to your poetry, I think. That's very nice. We always enjoy it. Bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. On the consent list are House Bill 166, Loans for Airport Development. House Bill 175, TANF Increase. House Bill 195, Forestry Division Appropriation. House Bill 201, Crime Victim Services Providers Funding. House Bill 223, Suicide Prevention. House Bill 237, Child Protection. House Bill 240, Establishment of Public Roads. House Bill 243, Firefighters, Dependents, Tuition. House Bill 251, Child Support Abatement, Weekends Defined. House Bill 253, Apprenticeship Programs. And House Bill 277, Wyoming Partnership Challenge Loan Program.
On the consent list, we have House Bill 166, Loans for Airport Development, House Bill 175, TANF Increase, House Bill 195, Forestry Division Appropriation, House Bill 201, Crime Victim Service Providers Funding, House Bill 233, Suicide Prevention, House Bill 237, Child Protection, House Bill 240, Establishment of Public Roads, House Bill 243, Firefighters, Dependents, Tuition, House Bill 251, Child Support Abatement, Weekends Defined, House Bill 253, Apprenticeship Programs, House Bill 277, Wyoming Partnership Challenge Loan Program. Would any member of the Senate like any bills removed? Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to remove House Bill 240, Establishment of Public Roads.
House Bill 240 has been removed. Would any senator like any other bill removed from the consent list? Remaining on the consent list, we have House Bill 166, Loans for Airport Development, House Bill 175, TANF Increase, House Bill 195, Forestry Division Appropriation, House Bill 201, Crime Victim Service Providers Funding, House Bill 223, Suicide Prevention, House Bill 237, Child Protection, House Bill 243, Firefighters, Dependents, Tuition, House Bill 251, Child Support Abatement, Weekends Defined, House Bill 253, Apprenticeship Programs, and House Bill 277, Wyoming Partnership Challenge Loan Program. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Alleman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 166. Are there any changes?
Mockler, aye to no.
Mockler, aye to no. DeCaria, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no. Massey, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 166. 25 ayes, 5 noes. House Bill 175. Are there any changes?
Meyer,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 175. 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 195. Are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. DeCaria, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 195, 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Bill 201, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 201, 30 ayes. House Bill 223. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 223, 30 ayes. House Bill 237. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 237, 30 ayes. House Bill 243, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 243, 30 ayes. House Bill 251, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 251, 30 ayes. House Bill 253, are there any changes?
Larson, aye to no.
President Larson, aye to no.
Coe,
aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no.
Townsend,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 253. 26 ayes, 4 noes. And House Bill 277. Are there any changes? Mockler, aye to no. Massey, aye to no.
Scott,
aye to no.
Coe,
aye to no. Job, aye to no.
Case,
aye to no.
Hawks,
aye to no.
Larson, aye to no.
President Larson, aye to no. And Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 277. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 166, Loans for Airport Development, House Bill 175, TANF Increases, House Bill 195, Forestry Division Appropriation, House Bill 201, Crime Victim Service Providers Funding, House Bill 223, Suicide Prevention, House Bill 235, Child Protection, House Bill 243, Firefighters Dependents Tuition, House Bill 251, Child Support Abatement Weekends Defined, House Bill 253, Apprenticeship Program, and House Bill 277, Wyoming Partnership Challenge Loan Program, have passed the Senate. House Bill 40, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 40, Revisers Bill, sponsored by the Management Council, an act relating to the revision of inadvertent errors, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have some amendments. Amendment number one, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 40, third reading, amendment number one to engrossed copy, page 12 after line two.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 40 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. This is great. I get to fix one of my own amendments. On the last line 19 of this, the report back to the committee. Transportation Committee was supposed to be September 1st, 2005, and it actually went through as 2006, so they've just changed this date to 2005, and I would hope you would support me fixing my own amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, and I just wanted to point out, for the first two readings of this bill, my colleague from here in Laramie County and I sponsored these amendments, but she persists in bringing these monumental changes to this bill on third reading, and I can't condone that kind of conduct on the floor of the Senate. So my name is not on these monumental changes.
Well, Third reading, amendment number one, the Mockler Majority Floor Leader. No, the Mockler Amendment, third reading amendment number one, the Mockler Amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number two, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 40, third reading amendment number two to engross copy after page 12 after line 2.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 40 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. This is the precursor drugs bill, which I believe the House is making their final actions on today, which is why we're not referencing an enrolled act, because it hasn't gone that way through the process, but it will catch up later. There, when we went through and redid a lot of renumbering here in the Senate with the bill, we missed one F where it should be a G, and that's the change on this amendment.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of third reading amendment number two say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number three, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 40, third reading amendment number three to engross copy, page 12 after line 2.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move third reading amendment number three to House Bill 40 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. In Enrolled Act 91, which was Senate File 14, the graduated driver's license, we had to put in some grammatical changes. We need to say this subsection instead of subsection K, because we were actually in subsection K, if you'll notice the actual full text of the amendment. So this is just a little bit of cleanup.
Any discussion on the amendment? All in favor of third reading amendment number three to House Bill 40, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill. House Bill number 40, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns? Case,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Haynes,
aye.
Fox,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Larson,
aye.
Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
House Bill 40, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 40 has passed the Senate. House Bill 83, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 83, Medical Review Panel 2, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, and act relating to the Medical Review Panel, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, or two, or three. Third reading amendment number one. To House Bill 83, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number one to engross copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
The Massey Amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 83. There are two parts to this amendment. The first part, as you see in lines 3 through 8, take care of, it's more of a cleanup amendment than anything else. Presently, the wording in the bill would state that the bill provides for expert witness who has not appeared before the panel, and that's just simply not a provision in the bill. So I'm cleaning that part of it up. It just simply says an expert witness who has an expert witness in the field of medical practice, which does reflect the provision in the bill. The second part of the amendment, Mr. President, is inserting two citations, one a state citation and the other one to a federal requirement. And you'll see that on line 13 and 14 of the amendment. 35-2-9-10 deals with the confidentiality of reports that are generated by hospitals to the State Department of Health. And then the U.S. citation also deals with the confidentiality of healthcare reports. Presently, the bill does contain a reference to 9-2-2907, to 37-17-105, which is also confidentiality. So what we're doing here by inserting these two provisions is saying that any records that are generated under the confidential provisions of state or federal law cannot be used in discovery or cannot be used by this healthcare panel. And it goes along with an existing citation. The House had picked that up and inserted it in its version of the bill that we received, and I'm just simply transferring it from that into the present version of the bill. And finally, the third part of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, is new. We did put it onto the bill that came out of the Senate Labor Committee, and when we did not adopt that substitute bill, it dropped by the wayside, and I'm now bringing it to the body here in third reading. And that starts on line 15. It pertains to that part of the bill which talks about a healthcare provider having 30 days in order to respond to a claim. However, if the healthcare provider chooses not to respond to the claim, then the claimant is pretty much in limbo. They aren't quite sure what's going to happen or where that person goes. And the claimant has already generated some expenses by going through his part of it. So this provision would say that if the healthcare provider fails to file an answer to the application for review, he shall pay the claimant's cost incurred by complying with the requirements of this act, and the claimant may immediately pursue the claim in a court of competent jurisdiction. So that's a way of making sure that both parties come and talk to the panel, and if one chooses not to do so, then the claimant can recover his cost and go directly into court. So, Mr. President, there are three different provisions in this amendment. Like I said, two of them are clean up, and I think the other one makes a great deal of sense.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I rise to speak for the amendment. This does clean up one of the deficiencies that was in the House bill as it came over.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. My question is this says in the case of the health care provider fails to file an answer, what if it goes the other way around at some point in time and the claimant actually drops out and the health care providers incurred a lot of cost? Does the door swing both ways?
Any further discussion before the sponsor of the amendment has his second turn? Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, let me respond to that. The structure of this is such that the claimant has to file to start the process. If he doesn't start the process, file, the process doesn't start, and he can't then go to court. So it's only the health care provider that has to file the answer. So it really isn't a problem on the claimant not filing. If he doesn't file, there's no claim made, and nothing ever starts. So you don't need to have it parallel. You need to have this provision so that it isn't, the panel isn't an optional exercise where the health care provider can just duck it.
Further discussion on the amendment? Any further discussion? Seeing none, the question is on House Bill 83, third reading amendment number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number two. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number two, to engross copy. If 2005 Senate File 113 is enacted into law.
Also the Massey amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading, or third reading amendment number two to House Bill 83. I wish I could have included that in the other amendment, but the LSO staff said it would have been really pretty sloppy. What I'm trying to do here is going back to that confidentiality provision. There's one more state citation of confidentiality, but it's not in law yet. It's Senate File 113, which passed out of here, and I think will soon be passing into law, but it's not there yet. So as a result, if that does go into law, which it's likely to do, we need to include that in this bill as well. And the LSO staff thought this is the best way to handle that. So that's essentially what this provision says, that if 2005 Senate File 113 is enacted into law, then it'll be inserted into that part of the bill and into that amendment which we just approved. And then as a result, subsection D, which is repeated, the existing subsection D, which is repeated on lines 12 through 18 of the amendment, would then include the citation 35-2-912.
Discussion on the amendment. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, the question is, House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 2, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 3, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 3, to engross copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
The Jennings Amendment, Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, I move the amendment 3 on HB 83. What we've done here is we stick with our three-member panel, but we take the advice of the good senator from Riverton, and we take our choice for the third member of the panel still being a layperson, but we do more like arbitration, and we let the first two choose that member. That way we're not going to go find a jury pool and try to decide which jury pool and that. So it's a procedure that we've used other places. It works, and it seemed like that was the natural thing to do here rather than going to the district jury pool.
Further discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, the question is, House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 3, shall it pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 4. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 4, to engross copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, thank you. I move amendment number 4 to HB 83. What we had here was we had some concern that maybe our number of days from the above paragraph where we had 60 days after filing and then below we had 30 days after service. So what we did is we added including expert witness statements, so that 30 days in this paragraph cannot be activated until they have the expert witness statement in their hand. And it's hopefully this just clears up some question about when that 30 days starts.
Discussion on the amendment. Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, the question is, House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 4, shall it pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 5. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 5, to engross copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, thank you once again. I move amendment number 5 to HB 83. And what we did here is we had the words administration of oaths. We're not going to have any witnesses. We don't need to have any oaths administered. So all we're doing is striking those words. So there's no reason to wonder who we're going to administer the oath to.
Discussion on the amendment. Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none. The question is, House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 5, shall it pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 6. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 6, to engrossed copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, thank you. Move amendment number 6 to HB 83. In the bill as the way it is now, we have the Attorney General being the administrator, or his designee being the administrator. We also gave him a little bit of money in, we treated his office as a panel member, and we're paying his office. I went down and visited with him last week after we passed the replacement bill, and he had the weekend to look at it. And he feels that he's going to have to put on some staff people to handle this. And we're only talking between now and budget, so I would expect that when we get here next year and we have a budget, that he'll roll this into his budget and we'll take this out. But he feels that he needs some financial help and physical help to handle what we do between now and then. He originally came with requesting three new staff members at $500,000. And I ignored him until he came down to two staff members and $250,000. So I think that this, you know, and we went back and forth on it quite a bit. And he is pretty adamant about the fact that he's going to have that much time invested in it. I told him I would bring the amendment. So here it is, and you decide.
This amendment will require a roll call. Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the two positions are very much needed. This is one of the deficiencies of the bill as it came over from the House, where they just hadn't thought out the administrative requirements of this. My prediction to you is, with a little experience, they'll be back for three positions. But two positions will get them started. What I'm not quite clear of, the bill as it stands now, I believe, has $500,000. Is this $250,000 in addition to that? It is. Okay, that, Mr. President, that ought to work just fine. I think it's necessary if we're going to do this. But I wanted to be sure we still had enough money to run the panels.
Further discussion? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I need a little bit more detail. Two positions, that comes out roughly to $100,000 a pop. Just what are we getting for $100,000 per employee? What are they going to be doing? I understand the $500,000 that's already in there. That's to pay the $500 a day or whatever these folks get when they hold a meeting. But a $100,000 employee, that's paid more than what the Attorney General gets. And I just want to know, I'm sure it's not a secretary and it's not a bus driver, but what are we talking about here?
Further discussion, Senator Cole.
Well, Mr. President, I too have concerns, because this is an office, last time I looked, had somewhere around 74, 75 attorneys full-time working down there. And here we are, we're going to go back in and add a couple more. And I guess maybe I'd also like to hear, and I hate to put the Appropriations Committee on the spot, but I'd like to know, I can't recall exactly what's in their supplemental budget request this year, but it would certainly help me if I'm going to make a decision on this amendment, knowing that there's 75 full-time already down there. How come we need more people and more money?
Before Senator Jennings has his second time, is there any further discussion? Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, as I recall offhand, we didn't add any position to the Attorney General's office. We have, in different areas, we've gave them quite a bit more money, mainly in the area of the school finance lawsuit and the state hospital DD program lawsuits. We increased the budget considerable in that area. I can't recall that we increased any employees. And I might say, Mr. President, that I feel this is an area, you know, we're addressing the constitutional question that the people approved last year, and I think what we've done to date have been limited to address the issue of insurance and liability
So I feel like we're probably justifiable in putting this money in, and then the amendment says up to the $250,000, and then in a year we can review it, and as we know, most of these budgets, there will be a request for ongoing funds, and I believe that with the amount of total employees we've added this time, the Appropriation Committee will certainly be looking at those numbers, not just in this agency, but in all of them. We're discussing ways to get better information on the number of employees, and AWAC particularly, but you know, I feel probably that we need to fund this area and make a good effort to see if we can't do something to help the problem.
Further discussion before the sponsor has his second term time. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The what the Attorney General tells me that he needs is a lawyer and a paralegal. And that lawyer may be him, may not be him, because he can designate somebody else. He also says that what he's looking at is keeping the records, establishing the mini department inside his department, and everything that goes with it. If I remember right, on the Scott Amendment, there was, I think it went through appropriations, came back out at a $1.5 million. And with the failure of that, I don't know if we went back and changed that, but that was the appropriation back when we were looking at an office of the administration and all that on that other amendment. So I think you've been there once, and I think we're still well under that. As Chairman Appropriations said, this is up to. It's not paying all. I mean, it doesn't have to spend it all. And he agreed that that was his boundary. So we've got to get him started. This may be a little high, but this is uncharted territory. We have to figure out what he needs. And by budget time, we should know and come back and address it and tweak it in like it should be.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the question is, on House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 6, requiring appropriation, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Jobe.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Third reading amendment number 6 has passed the Senate. Third reading amendment number 7. Excuse me. Senator Allman.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Since, give us a break between all these amendments. I have the honor to, and I think I can honestly say this, that this group of young men and women have traveled the farthest to come and see the workings that are going on here at our Capitol. It's the eighth grade students, government class of Star Valley Middle School. The teacher is Mr. Mill, and our principal, Kim Kazer, is also up there. I wish that if everybody would honor them by standing and welcoming them to our...
Thank you, students. Welcome to the Senate. I think you've come almost as far as you can get, so I'm sure you're right up there. Welcome. We're glad to have you down here and observing our actions. Third reading, Amendment Number 7. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, Third Reading, Amendment Number 7, to engross copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
The Sessions Amendment, Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 7 to House Bill 83 and ask to dispense with the rest of the reading of the amendment, and I would just like to say that this is a policy decision I think we as a body need to make. And we need to make it because we are not in this by ourselves as a Senate. And particularly based, I feel it very strongly about having a 5-member panel. I know it's more money, but what happens with the previous amendment is on a 3-member panel, the two individuals would be choosing the third person. And particularly with that, I see a log jam. I see an instance where there will be instances where it will not go forward because an agreement can not be made. With a 5-member panel, even if total agreement is not there, it can still go forward and have a semblance of coming out and have a semblance of a panel that will turn out a good work product. I know that some of you have been on various committees and various boards, whatever, with those small numbers. I don't think the dynamics are there with those small numbers. I don't think that the exchange of ideas and thoughts and bouncing things off, if you have two professionals in each field, you've got to have a better mix, better dynamics, a better evaluation of the material that you're looking at. And that third person particularly, I think, the fifth person, I think, is particularly important being chosen. And with 4 members choosing that person, as I said before, it does not have to be a unanimous decision, but it can move out of the realm of just complete conflict right at the beginning. So, or the domination of certain strong personalities. And sometimes you get in our conference committees, and we have all seen that, what happens with strong personalities in those committees. So for these reasons, I would urge us to accept the 5-member panel, hoping that we can go forward and really get a dynamic group going that really stands to serve all of our residents of this state in this issue. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand in support of this amendment. Our county in the 80s had 5 commissioners, and then we went to 3 commissioners in the 90s, and I watched that commission be run by one person for 4 years, better part of 4 years. 5 makes it much better. You don't have one person, really strong personality, that basically takes over. I urge your vote of this and get 5 on the panel.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The problem with this, I don't think, is large. The problem is that you put a couple more guys on there, you increase the cost. If you go back to the daily pay that we're going to give these guys to be on the panel, we could probably bump our cost up over $10,000 on this. I can't really argue with the idea that one member would overshadow others. I've been on panels. I've seen that happen. So what the decision that we have to make here, do we keep it small, less expensive, more streamlined, take our chances, or do we enlarge it 2 more and fulfill the problems that we might have with a dominant? So I would say vote against it to keep it streamlined, but I'm not going to say that very loud or very strong.
Further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just to add one more thing to that is when we're thinking about the balance of the various groups there, I know that often folks think of physicians and attorneys being sometimes opposed to each other. But in reality, half the attorneys who have experience in this area are often defendants for physicians. So this will give more representation by going to 5.
Any further discussion? Question is, House Bill 83, Third Reading, Amendment Number 7, shall it pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 8. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 8, to engross copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
The Ross Amendment. Senator Ross.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 83 and request that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Members of the Senate, this is the issue that we've been discussing about in terms of admissibility and how best to handle it. I want to address right off the bat a comment that was made yesterday that I didn't have an opportunity to reply to when we were talking about the issue concerning admissibility and whether or not that we get into a situation of invading the procedural judicial power set out in the Constitution, Article 5, Section 2. It was stated that that was a red herring, and I submit to you that it is not a red herring. And in fact, the Wyoming Supreme Court has already addressed a similar issue when we had the baseless pleading statute on the books. The Wyoming Supreme Court, in the Squillace versus Kelly case, came back and said that is a judicial function. It invaded the power, separation of powers, and it invaded the judicial procedural powers, and as a result, declared that statute unconstitutional. Now, what we're doing here today is to debate that very same issue again about admissibility, and what this amendment does is it goes in to the amendment, the Jennings Amendment on the last page, and deletes out the language concerning the reading in of a jury instruction at the very outset of the trial, which I have argued and I've tried to get my point across that I believe that that taints the jury. And I believe it hammers the doctors in a situation like that. Because the real decision is, in this bill, is potential medical malpractice or no potential medical malpractice. And it's read on high from the judge right off the bat. What this amendment does is it does say it's admissible, but it's admissible subject to the discretion of the trial court and subject to the Wyoming rules of evidence, just like anything else. And I submit to you that this amendment keeps the bill constitutional. And we don't all of a sudden have, the very first time we have a review panel, we have a challenge to that because of the very issue of separation of powers. So I urge you to support this amendment, to get it onto the bill, we get a bill out that we can live with and not be subject to having it being challenged in court.
Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, this is the fundamental issue in this bill. Mr. President, I'm going to ask for the yeas and nays on this amendment. The question of admissibility really comes down to the question of, is this panel going to make any difference or not? And the whole point of having it admissible is that if it's admissible, then all the parties know that it's going to affect the outcome of a trial. And the effect it's going to have is going to be twofold. Where the case does have merit, it's going to push the parties to settle and avoid a bunch of the expenses that are involved in going to trial and going further into the litigation. The plaintiff will get their money quicker. They'll get more of it because they'll have a settlement. On the other hand, if the finding is that there really wasn't any malpractice, then it encourages the claimant to not bring the case in the first place. Get rid of it. It wasn't a good case. And that's the whole purpose of this panel. Absent admissibility, I think you've got a panel that is just ineffective in this modern climate. And yes, 20 years ago, it looked like, and we didn't have enough cases really to know for sure, but it looked like with a non-admissible panel we were starting to make some progress. But the world has changed in the past 20 years. We've become gradually a much more litigious society. And I think that if you don't make the panel admissible, it just isn't going to be effective. Now, what about the argument about constitutionality? I think that that's just, I don't want to say bogus, because I'm sure there'll be a challenge. But the situation you've seen in the other states that have had a panel and made it admissible is, yeah, the courts obey the law and it becomes admissible. And I think it's a question, if they were to throw it out, I don't think they will, but if they were to throw it out, I think they're invading our prerogatives to be able to set one of these things and make it so it'll work.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. We heard testimony yesterday, I think it was yesterday on second reading, in which someone had some direct experience with this panel in the 1980s, before the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional several years after it was in operation. And it was a very good description of how well it worked and how it actually did discourage the claimant from going any further. And our old law that was declared unconstitutional had a very strict prohibition from any decision being read in court or being admissible in court. And we're not talking about that option here at all. So that panel seemed to work even with that provision in there. And with regard to our Constitution, the reason that Amendment D was on the ballot last November is because our Constitution has some unique provisions in it, or at least provisions there are in very few other constitutions in this country. And one of them is the access directly to go, for a person to go to court, therefore requiring any kind of tort reform or caps on non-economic damages to go to the voters or for us to change the Constitution. So we often can't rely upon the decisions in other states because our Constitution may very well have provisions that other states do not have. So I hope that we take that into consideration and understand the decision in front of us here isn't whether or not the evidence is going to be admissible. It is. Okay. However, the amendment in front of us will make sure that it's constitutional, and in just about every case, unless something very strange were to happen, it's going to be admitted as evidence in that case at the appropriate time.
Further discussion. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The issue with respect to whether or not we're going to take an administrative hearing and use the findings of that in a subsequent trial is not new to this problem. And the courts have tools to go back and look at trying to determine whether or not the administrative findings are admissible. But in fundamental fairness, and that's what it becomes down to, that is the court looking back to say, is it fair to take a finding from a prior proceeding and admit it into the later trial proceeding? And the answer generally depends on the caliber of evidence and the standards of proof that were there. If you have a full-fledged trial, and as a consequence of that, both parties had an equal opportunity to present their evidence, and there is a finding, then generally that finding is admissible. If, on the other hand, your administrative process has a lower standard of proof, a lower standard of evidentiary requirement to obtain a ruling, then the courts generally say it's not fair because the significance of the ruling becomes more significant than it was in the beginning. And in this instance, the objective of the Jennings Amendment was simply that we're not going to have a long trial. What we're going to have is a standard the sentence says, is there a potential for medical malpractice? So if you're a physician and you're defending this case later at trial, would it be fair to have the judge instruct the jury that, hey, there was a panel of five people that met and they found that there is a potential for medical malpractice? And the answer is no, that's not fair to the physician. because it was a lower standard, and it's not probative of whether or not there was malpractice. It's not indicative of whether there was malpractice. It simply is a finding that he met, that the plaintiff met the hurdle that he's entitled to go to trial. And by admitting it, then you give it more significance than it was. So in this case, and there are instances, and I concede that if the finding was there's no potential malpractice, then that might be admissible, because frankly, if you can't satisfy the lower standard, how can you satisfy the higher standard? Give it to the judge to decide based upon fairness. But in most instances, if you have an expert already selected and you're the plaintiff, you will probably satisfy that burden. And simply to have the court struck that the plaintiff has successfully passed the initial stage is irrelevant. It's irrelevant to the facts that are being presented. It's just as irrelevant for the judge to say, by the way, there was a summary judgment there and the plaintiff passed the test. That's irrelevant to the facts before you.
Further discussion. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a packet here that was prepared for me. We have 34 pages of Wyoming statutes, all of them talking about what we're talking about. One right off the top that grabs my eye is 1-1130. This is the bill that you guys passed at the special session. And in it, the last thing is that suffering injury or death of the alleged victim as a result in the unanticipated outcome of medical care are inadmissible. Can't do it. We've told the court, can't do that one. As you go through this, all these, we hit everything. Here's proof of law in foreign jurisdictions. Shall be admitted by the courts. Here's 1-12-104, written findings of presumed death, admissible as evidence. So we go through in our statutes. It's nothing new. We've done this. Time after time after time after time, we have told the court what can be admissible and what can't. Where's the challenge on all these statutes? Pages. One statute after another, where we've told the court they may or they may not admit evidence. Nobody's challenged these.
Further discussion. Senator Baumflater.
Thank you, Mr. President. Of course, I'm not an attorney. Never made it that far, but I've only been on jury duty once. Pretty much in awe of the system. Luckily, I've been on the good end of the system. In particular, I'm in awe of judges. And I stand in support of this amendment. Because if you look at the average Joe in the street, you got to remember the 30 of us have sat through this debate and understand what the panel's going to be and how they're going to render their decision and whether or not it's admissible in court. So we have an understanding of what's going on. I'll take an average Joe off the street who is in much in awe of the judge and the court system, put them in this panel, they're in their first jury duty maybe, and they look around and they're, wow, this is really exciting, and probably not real happy there to begin with, but that's another point. And then the judge tells them that this doctor has a potential of malpractice. Are they to dismiss that as, oh well, somebody... They don't understand this panel system. Maybe they've been given a little brief on it. But since they don't understand it, they think it's some kind of, has some standing in this world, and it said this doctor has a potential of malpractice. So what we're doing is that in the mind of the average citizen, I do believe, my opinion, this guy's guilty, and now he has to prove himself innocent. Well, in my mind, that's flipping our system over. That's a 180-degree turn on how our system, what our system's built on, which is innocent until proven guilty. I ask you to vote for this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion. Seeing none. Question is on third reading amendment number 18. Yeas and nays having been called for, the chief clerk will call a roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Haynes?
Aye.
Fox?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moffler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
No.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed, 20 ayes, 10 noes.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 8 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 9, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 83, third reading amendment number 9, to engrossed copy in the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 83 and ask for its favorable consideration. Mr. President, this goes into, actually has two parts. The first part is that the parties may waive submission of the claim to the panel. I think it's probably a right they would have anyway by contract. However, in light of the previous amendment, which makes it the health care provider pay some costs if he's tardy, I think that this is probably more important now to expressly say that. The other part of it goes in and twinks the nose of the insurance company a little bit. It says no insurance company shall cancel or increase any premium of a health care provider's malpractice insurance policy solely based upon the health care provider exercising his rights under this act. So it's a little bit of cover for docs that that they don't get priced out of business in their health insurance based on solely one incident. And I do believe it's two different thoughts. It's probably divisible, but I think both of them are needed.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I ask that we divide this amendment after the period on line 13.
On line 13,
yes,
after
Mr.
the
President.
Period, which follows panel.
Yes, Mr. President. And that the portion of the amendment before that is portion 1,
mm-hmm.
And after that, portion 2.
But it does appear to be divisible.
Mr. President.
Senator Jennings.
I'm not sure if this is a point of order or just a question, but the first half of that is already in the bill.
Well, I think the line from 13 on is a different issue, and I believe it is divisible. We'll be back on section number 1, which shall consist of lines 1 through 13 up to the period after the word panel. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for the amendment and against the bill. Mr. President, with the action we just took.
Senator Scott, we're on section 1.
Section 1 of the
You mentioned the bill, so we are on the amendment, section 1.
Mr. President, with the action we just took, the review panel is worthless. It will not make any significant difference, and this amendment then, as I read it, allows both parties to agree to bypass the panel, which will bypass an exercise that is going to be largely an exercise of futility. And I think probably we ought to do this in recognition that what we've got just isn't going to make any difference.
Discussion on Division 1 of the amendment. Discussion on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 13 down to the period after panel. Any further discussion? All in favor of that part of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That part of the amendment has been adopted. We're now on Section 2, which consists of the word no on line 13 through the remainder of the amendment. Discussion on Section 2 of the amendment. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I agree with the sentiment expressed by the sponsor of this amendment. However, I do have a concern that if we put something like this into law, I think it's going to actually become more difficult for doctors to find insurance carriers to give them malpractice insurance. I believe we're down to just a few, very few insurance carriers in the state as it is, and when we start putting parameters on what they can base their charges on, I think we're getting into some very thin ice. And for that reason, I would caution the body on before passing this portion of this amendment.
To the discussion on part two, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment for a little bit different reason. The proposition that's trying to be addressed is that, generally speaking, if you're a physician and you want to avoid doing this process, you need to get your insurer's consent. The reason is because in the insurance policy, there's a duty to cooperate with the physician and his insured. If the physician fails to cooperate, he can impair his coverage under the policy as a breach of contract. So if you wanted to create the ability of the physician to make a decision independent of his insured, you'd have to address it differently. But as an insurer, you'd have to address it differently. But as a practical matter, the physician and the insurance company at this time are a team, and they will make the decision jointly. If the physician wants to make a decision that's different than the recommendation of the insurance company, it's not his cancellation of the policy or the increase in premium that he suffers or jeopardizes. It's his coverage for that claim. So you have to deal with something differently. So for that reason, because it doesn't address the underlying issue, I'd just urge you to reject it.
Further discussion on Section 2 of the amendment. Seeing none, we're voting on Section 2 of the amendment, which is on line 13, the word no, and the remainder of the amendment. All in favor of Section 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That part of the amendment has been defeated. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Are there any announcements? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess until 2 p.m.